Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are glad to be here to bring this last day of this word to you today. How many of you were here yesterday? Oh, everybody was here yesterday. Almost everybody. So what we're going to talk about today, if we talk about that we said this yesterday, most of you know what we're talking about. I want to read a verse in the book of Ephesians. Says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 10, Ephesians 1. Hallelujah.
እንደ ወደደ እንደ ሐሳቡ የፈቃዱን ምስጢር አስታውቆናልና በዘመን ፍጻሜ ይደረግ ዘንድ ያለው ሐሳቡ በሰማይና በምድር ያለው ሁሉ በክርስቶስ ለመጠቅለል ነው።
Hallelujah. You know, God has a purpose in time. There are certain things that are going to be finished at the dispensation of the fullness of time. Amen. Now, brethren, you know that God lives in eternity. We live in time. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I were to draw eternity, it has no beginning and no end. Now this is difficult for me to understand. When I was a little boy about your age, I used to ask my mother difficult questions. Mom, when did God begin? Well, son, he had no beginning. But mom, that cannot be true. Everything has a time to start. No, son, God has no beginning. He always was. And he always will be. And if we are with him, we always will be too. So I still have difficulty understanding this. Except to say that eternity is in a different frequency than time. There are some radios that come at a certain low frequency and they pick up the signal. But if you tune it to the higher frequency, you get another set of signals. So heaven and eternity and spiritual things are here where we are, but we can't see them.
ወይም ከሰማይነት ዘላለማዊነት
Now God, being an eternal God, created man, and He put man in time. Now, if this were the whole line of eternity, there was a little beep on the radar called time. You know, you see these EKG machines in the hospitals where they test your heart, you know? And beep, 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 beep. Well, this is time where we live is just one little beep in eternity. Now, God expects us to live in time, and He gave us means for measuring time. In Genesis, the first chapter, you know, you find almost every purpose of God in the first book of the Bible. And I'm looking for the verse here. I think it's verse 23. No, here it is. It's before that. All right, let's go to verse 13. Genesis 1:13. And the evening and the morning were the third day, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And so God set time, and He gave us the means of measuring days and seasons and years in time. He gave us the sun to measure and separate the day from the night. And so the rising and the setting of the sun every day counts another day. And He gave us the moon, and the waxing and the waning of the moon and the coming of the new moons show us a new month. And I don't know how strong your seasons are here, but where I live, we have very definite, clear seasons that mark a year. Where I live, it is still winter time and there's still snow on the ground. And the snow will come to an end and the flowers will begin to bloom again, and that'll be springtime. Then we'll have a season when it's very warm, and that's summer. And then the leaves will fall off the trees again, and it'll be fall. And then comes the snow again. And And then we know, even if we didn't have calendars and clocks, we would know that it's come to another year again. Now, in this time that God has created, He has also a clock. And it says here in chapter 2, he says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." Chapter 2, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So God made also a calendar of seven. Okay, so we're going to kind of take this little spot and blow it up here a little bit and divide it into seven. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we've got 7. Now, God divided a lot of things into sevens. And what does the number seven represent? Fullness, completeness. Okay, the number six is the number of man, because man was created on the sixth day. The number seven is the number of fullness and completion. And then when you get to the number eight, the number means new beginning. You're starting over again. So when you get to the end of seven, for instance, the end of a week, the eighth day really is the beginning of a new one, and you start over again. Now, God made a week. He made a week of seven 24-hour days. He says the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day, and so on. Now, God also has a calendar that goes for thousands of years. Let's go to 2 Peter. And the chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
እነሱም የመምጣቱ የተስፋ ቃል ወዴት ነው? አባቶች ከሞቱባት ጊዜ ከፍጥረት መጀመሪያ ይህ ሁሉ እንዳለ ይኖራልና ይላሉ።
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So he's talking about the days of Noah. He's saying that the old world perished in the days of Noah from the water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now remember, when God talks about fire, he might be talking about spiritual fire. He's talking about intense tribulation, trial by fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, so Peter is saying that God has another week of 1,000-year days. So here's 1,000 years. Here's 1,000 years. And about this time we come to Noah. Okay, then here we come to another 1,000 years. It'd be 1, 2, 3,000 years. And here we come to 4,000 years, and we come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, something's wrong with my time here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh yeah, we're all right. We're all right. Okay. I've got the right number in here. Now, we come to Jesus Christ at the end of 4,000 years. Now, I know that your calendar is a little bit different than mine. But my calendar says that this year is 2011. That means that they're saying that since the birth of Jesus Christ, we've come to this point and a little bit beyond here. Now, my calendar is wrong. And the scholars that have studied it have admitted that they made a mistake. Okay? So, when they go back from this time, they call it B.C., before Christ. So, what they're saying is the day that God created heaven and earth should really be counted as 4004 BC.
And
And they are saying that the birth of Christ should be counted as 4 BC. So 2011 should actually be 2015,
right?
Now let's count them up. You've got 4,000 here. You've got another 2,000. So we have from here to here a total of
6,015 years.
Now, we're only a couple of years different from yours. Your calendar might be correct. And mine might be wrong. But even if yours is right, you're still saying that we've gone beyond this point right here. That means that 6,000 years have passed from creation until today. Man has had 6,000 years. And how has he come in this earth? We haven't fixed the problems of this earth. We've made more problems, yes. And so God said that His seventh day was to be what? A day of rest. Now, let me take you over into the book of Revelation, and we're going to find where the book of Revelation tells that we're going to have a seventh day of rest for 1,000 years. Chapter 20. Amen. It says here in... let's just read a few verses here. All right. Chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now remember, the destroyer was released from the bottomless pit. The abyss. And now he's going to be bound up, it says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So here we have the first 1,000 years. Let me put it in a different color here so it stands out. Maybe green. Green would be good, wouldn't it? Here's the first. Here's the second. Here's the third. Fourth, fifth, sixth, and now we're coming into the seventh. Now, apparently God, either our calendar is wrong or God is giving us a little more time, but we've come into this seventh millennium in which Satan must be bound. Now there's other things that need to happen in this seventh millennium. Well, can we? Do you have the word millennium in your language? Okay. Amen. The reason I'm asking is when we were here about 4 years ago and we used that word millennium, they had a hard time translating it. Okay, good. You have the word. All right. So we are supposed to also, the sons of God are supposed to rule and reign with Christ for this 1,000 years. All right, now let me read, starting in verse 4 of chapter 20, Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ a 1,000 years.
ዘፋሮችንም አየው በነሱም ላይ ለተቀመጡት ዳኝነት ተሰጣቸው ስለ ኢየሱስ ምስክርና ስለ እግዚአብሔር ቃል ራሶቻቸው የተቆረጡባቸው ሰዎች ነፍሳት ለአውሬውና ለምስሉ ያልሰገዱትን ምልክቱንም በግንባራቸው በእጃቸውም ላይ ያልተቀበሉትን አየው ከክርስቶስም ጋር ሺህ ዓመት ኖሩና
አሜን How many of you want to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years? Did you notice who they were? Did you notice who they were? Did you notice they were the martyrs? Did you see they were the martyrs? These are the overcomers. Now, whether they were literally killed or whether God permitted them to live, the point is they are overcomers. They've overcome Satan. They've overcome the accuser of the brethren. They have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their life unto death. Have you settled the issue? Are you trying to preserve your life, or are you willing to lay it down for Christ? See, he didn't say that every believer is going to rule and reign with Christ. Some believers are just going to be in paradise. They're going to have a nice place, you know. But the overcomer, the man child, they're going to rule and reign with Christ because they have overcome the devil. Do you see, brethren, it is important that we are delivered from these oppressive spirits. Oppressive. We need to overcome every ruling spirit. You know, one of the ruling spirits that I have seen came as quite a surprise to me. There are places, you know, that alcohol is a ruling spirit. There are certain cities that sexual sin is a ruling spirit. But you know, brethren, I have seen an even more powerful ruling spirit called the spirit of religion. Do you know what Satan did when he discovered he could not defeat the church by killing them? Satan joined the church. Did Brother Bert tell you the story of the brother that we know in Czech Republic? This man was a young man, probably no more than about 20 years old, if that. 17? He was 18 years old. And it was when we first took this message, the very message we are preaching to you, we took it to the Czech Republic in the early 1990s. And he was a young man. He wanted to be a pastor. He wanted to go to Bible school. And he came to some of the early meetings that we had in Prague. And we had a little break like we did this morning. And the man walked out of the building and he walked, took a little path into where there were some trees. When he was out there and alone, suddenly a man, appeared to be a man but was really a demon, met him. We believe it was one of the ruling princes over that area, a spirit being. And this being said to this young brother, he said to him, "Look, if you want to be a Christian, that's fine with us. If you want to be a pastor of an evangelical church, that's fine with us. But if you are going to listen to this word and believe this word, we will kill you." Well, this warning from this prince demon quickened his interest, and he said, "Wow, what is about this word that the devil hates so much?" And he said, "I have to learn more. I want to find out what the devil hates about this word." Now he was already a born-again believer. He was a member of a good evangelical church that believes in salvation and baptism. And he did indeed learn. Today he's in his 30s. And he's an elder in the fellowship in Prague. Preaching this word. He's traveled to Nigeria. He's traveled to the Philippines with us. Let me go on with this word in Revelation. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Verse 5.
Amen. Now, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I've shown you that we have come to the end of the sixth millennium. Every calendar that I know of says the 6,000 years are finished. Our calendar, your calendar, the Jews' calendar, they all say that the sixth day is come to an end. So we have come to the seventh day of God's calendar, which is to be a day of rest. A day when the devil should be bound. And so you might say, well, why is he not bound? Why are we still in bondage? Why are the wicked still ruling the world? But let me say something else to you, and you will understand this better than people in my country. Because your new day begins at the sunset, does it not?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It begins at 6 o'clock at night. Just the way God said it in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the day. So the day begins in darkness, does it not? Adam was created on the sixth day. But Adam was the last thing that God did on the sixth day. And no more was Adam created. Then Adam looked at the sunset and the sun was going down. Adam was created at the end of the sixth day, and the first thing that Adam saw was the sun was disappearing. And so Adam went through the night. His first hours on earth, he saw the sun disappear and it was gone and it was night. And so the seventh day began in darkness. And Adam must have been listening to the cry of the beasts out there and wondering, what are all these noises? He heard the moo. No. I mean, all these noises of darkness Adam was hearing. Amen. But Jesus said that there's coming a midnight. And midnight is the darkest hour. And from the midnight on, it begins to get brighter. And at midnight, a cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." So there is a cry for the overcomer to come out at midnight. Brethren, are you hearing the midnight cry? See, that's part of the message that we're bringing here, is an end time midnight cry. Brethren, give me examples from the Bible of how God delivered His people at midnight. What do you think? What do you remember from the Bible? What about the Passover? Passover in Egypt. Yes. They were prepared. They were prepared for midnight. God is asking us now to be prepared for the midnight cry. Now is the time to put the blood upon the lintel of your house. This is the house. This is the house. This is the dwelling place. Put the blood upon your mind, upon your soul. Put the blood upon the side posts. The things that I do, the places that I go. Let my action now be covered by the blood of Jesus. Because at midnight, the destroyer will be loosed. The purpose of the destruction is for Egypt, not for God's people. We keep telling you, God has made a provision that we can escape the destruction. We give you many, many examples, many ways that God says it. He says, come into the secret place of the Most High. Come into the secret place of the Most High. He says, come under the shadow of the Almighty. Come into the bride chamber. And the door is shut. To Noah. Amen. To Noah, he said, come into the ark. See, God is building a spiritual ark today. He is saying, come and be sealed. The ark was sealed. And he's asking us to allow our mind to be sealed. The sealing process is ongoing now. It's happening now. God is sealing some now. Some of us are hearing the word, we are making our mind, and we are saying, I will never turn back. Some are hearing the word and say, this is the word of truth. I believe it. I will not turn. Now, we are at the end of this time right here. Let me draw another little and he has another clock of seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay? Now, I want to take you to the book of Daniel. And I think it's the ninth chapter. Brother Daniel, where are you? He's after Ezekiel. And he's before Hosea. Here we are. And we're looking at the ninth chapter. And in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the Most Holy. Now my Bible says 70 weeks. Your Bible probably says it more accurately.
Yes.
70 sevens.
77th, yeah.
70 periods of seven.
Yeah.
Okay. 70 periods of seven make what? 70 times 7 is 490, right?
Yes.
All right. Let me do a little math here. 70 times 7 is 490. And if you want to take the time, I don't have the time to tell you now, but you can count up, there are seven purposes that God had in here. You go home, put a little number by each one in your Bible, number them out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven purposes. And the final purpose brought you into the Holy of Holies, where God was going to anoint the Most Holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the next verse he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times."
ስለዚህ እወቅ አስተውልን ኢየሩሳሌምን መጠገንና መስራት ትእዛዙ ከሚወጣበት ጀምሮ እስከ አለቃ እስከ መጢት ድረስ 7 ሱባኤና 62 ሱባኤ ይሆናል። እርሷም መጭን ዘመን ከመዳራነ ጠጋ ትሰራለች።
7 plus 62 is that 62?
Mm-hmm.
Is 69. All right.
What is it saying?
So compared with 70, it takes you up to 69. In other words, there's one missing. Okay. By the way, when Daniel was given this prophecy, there had been no commandment to build Jerusalem. This was after the time of Daniel that commandment went out from the king of Babylon. And Nehemiah, I believe, was the man that was sent to do the job. So in other words, God said, "I have another clock here. I have another clock that's going to run inside of this clock." And my other clock is going to be 490 years. And the clock is going to start right here with the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So if you're a student of history, you can go back and you can find out when this, I think it was Darius, or was it Cyrus? I think it was Cyrus, wasn't it? The Babylonian king, you can find out what year in history he gave the command to rebuild Jerusalem. Now for some reason, according to the prophecy, it's divided as 7 and
62.
As near as I can figure out, the smaller number was apparently a period of time that it actually took to complete the rebuilding process. Possibly included the restoration of the temple as well. Alright, so basically he's saying until the coming of the Messiah, it would be 69. Which brings us up to this point right here. Okay. Now, what we have left then after the 69 is one more. We have 7 more to come after that. Alright, let me go on here. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So sometime after the coming of Messiah, sometime in this last period of time, he's going to be cut off. So let me, this black is kind of running out of gas here. In this last 7 now, we'll expand this a little bit too. Here we have another 7. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. After this time here, Messiah is going to be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. But he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Seven years. He's going to confirm the covenant. But it says, and in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So the midst of the week is right here. The midst of the week is 3.5. Now, it says he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he will make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, this verse, these last two verses, verse 26 and 27, are some of the most difficult verses in the Bible to understand. What makes them difficult to understand is that the church has given the wrong interpretation for them. What the church is saying about this, I'll tell you what is wrong about it. They say, verse 27, he will confirm the covenant. They say that's the Antichrist, that's the devil. They say the Antichrist will make a 7-year treaty with Israel. And halfway through the treaty, he'll violate it, and he'll go into the temple, and he'll do terrible things in the Holy of Holies. So, the first problem with this interpretation is, it says that Jesus cannot return until the Jews build another temple. Because they have to be doing sacrifices in order for the devil or the Antichrist to come in and stop it. But you know, the problem with the Jews rebuilding a temple is that there's something else on the site of the temple. And that happens to be the Mosque of Omar, the temple, the Muslim mosque. Dome of the Rock, do they call it that too? The Dome of the Rock? The Muslim the Muslim mosque, whatever in Jerusalem. And the Jews can't tear it down. Come now. If they could tear it down, they would have tore it down when they took Jerusalem in the Six-Day War.
But
Well, they can go ahead and take Jerusalem, but if they touch that mosque, every Muslim in the world is going to come after them. Brethren, I don't know whether they're going to build another temple in Jerusalem or not. It doesn't matter to me. Come now, we know what the true temple of God is. Come now, read the New Testament. We are the temple of God. God has a temple. He allowed the Romans to destroy that other one because of the abominations that they were doing. It says in the midst of the week, he will cause the abomination, or he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Let's go back and prove who he is. Back to verse 25. Up to the Messiah, the Prince. Verse 25. Messiah, the Prince. Verse 26. Messiah shall be cut off after 62 weeks. Now, I don't know how your sentences go, but I know in English you have a subject of the sentence. And the subject is the Messiah.
Subject.
Your language probably doesn't go that way, but you have to have it.
Subject.
Take the sentence, I will come. The subject is I, the action is will come. Alright. So the thing we're talking about is the Messiah. Not the people that are going to come to destroy Jerusalem. We're talking about Messiah. So in verse 27, and he will confirm the covenant is the Messiah. Jesus Christ will confirm the covenant. Now, first of all, Satan is incapable of making a covenant. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He cannot make a covenant. You know, a covenant is a stronger agreement than a contract. When the lawyer makes a contract between two people that want to do business, they tell, well, when the contract will start, when it will end. And then they have these escape clauses, how you can get out of the contract. But a covenant has no such thing. God makes a covenant. His covenant is forever. See, God intends that when we marry, our marriage is a covenant. And the only thing that can break that covenant is the death of one or the other of the people that are in the covenant. So Jesus is going to confirm a covenant with people for 1 week. But in the midst of the week, he's cut off. After 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus was cut off. And in the midst of the week, he caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, he became the Lamb of God. He became the last Passover Lamb that God would ever recognize. He brought it to a fullness. As far as God is concerned, no more blood, no more bulls, no more lamb, no more goats. If you want to keep the Passover, you don't kill a lamb, you don't have to eat unleavened bread. You keep the fullness of the Passover in the blood of Jesus Christ in me. See, I don't have to take up ancient Jewish practices of Moses to keep. I keep the salvation blood of Jesus Christ in an ongoing basis in my soul. But the problem is that the Jews did not stop sacrificing. And therefore, it became an abomination before God in a stink in his nose. And so God brought in a desolation and destroyed the city and the temple. And because the temple was destroyed, they had to stop the sacrifice and oblation. Now, what was the covenant that God brought for 1 week? Brother Burke read the verse this morning. Where was that found again? Hebrews chapter 8. Let me read it again to you, just that verse. I won't read the whole passage. Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." House of Israel means God's people, all of God's people. It means you, it means me, it means people that believe in Jesus Christ. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. The problem is now that halfway through the week, the confirmation of the covenant was cut off by the death of Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ's ቃል ኪዳን ተፈጸመ ማለት ነው።
So the clock stopped.
አሁን ሰዓቱ ቆመ። 490
That clock. The clock within the clock of time. The clock stopped. And there's 3.5 years left to run on that clock. Until we come to the beginning of the seventh day. So what's going to happen in that last 3.5 years? You know the word. Tribulation. It's going to start at midnight. Tribulation for the world such as the world has never known before. But God is going to have people who will finish the 3.5 years of the covenant confirmation that Jesus started. There will be a people who will walk in the earth in the power that Jesus walked in for 3.5 years.
በሚቀጥለው 3 ዓመት ተኩል ወይ የመከራ ዘመን ውስጥ የሚመላለሱ ህዝቦች አሉ።
We gave you different pictures of them during the time we've been here. These people who will walk in this covenant of Jesus. 144,000. Gideon, 300. Man child. Sons of God. And more. And two witnesses. Let me read you a verse from Revelation chapter 11. I think we read the first two verses yesterday, where the angel said, "Measure the temple and the altar and those that worship in it. Measure the holy place, church. But leave out the outer court church and measure it not, for the Gentiles are going to trample it underfoot for 42 months. Months is 3.5 years. And the next verse says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses." These are the people that walk in the Spirit and the Word. And they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's another way of saying 3.5 years. I can give you many references to 3.5 years. The church says there's going to be 7-year tribulation, but that's not in the Bible. The church doctrines say that there will be 7 years tribulation. The The only way you can come up with that number is to twist the Word of God and start adding 3.5 and 3.5 and things like that. So what I'm saying, brethren, yes, we've come to the end of 6 days. We've come, we are an end time preaching people. We are in the end times. From what I can see, it looks like we've gone over time. But then I don't know where our clocks have gone wrong. I would say it's the end of the sixth day. I also observe that it's getting darker and darker. And from what I can see, midnight is almost here. I am already hearing the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Go ye out to meet him. Now, I don't know how long midnight is. God's time and my time are not the same. I don't know how long the great and terrible day of the Lord is, except to say that it's a 3.5 year period of time. I can just leave you with a few last things, so you can go and look them up on your own. But go and look up in Judges chapter 16 on your own, and you find out that it was at midnight that Samson got out of the harlot's house. It was at midnight.
Okay.
In Gaza. If he had stayed one more hour, he would have been killed. And what is the cry that we are hearing today? Come out of her. Her. Who is her? Woman means what?
Church.
Woman means church. Virgin church is pure church. Among the pure church, you have wise church and you have foolish church. And then we have harlot church. Harlot church is church that is not true to Jesus Christ and His Word. And the cry of the Spirit of God today is to come out of her, my people. Because she is coming under the fierce judgment of God. It tells in Revelation that He's going to take her like a millstone and throw her into the water. So brethren, it is midnight. It is almost midnight. If you find yourself in Samson's position, run now. Run, 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 run out of the harlot's house. Run out of the city of Gaza. Run out of the city of religion. And come into the city of the living God. Mount Zion. Heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen. Gracias por la atención.